Jesus was a rule breaker. But it wasn't the standing and sitting thing that he was breaking the rules. In this week's Bible reading, it was from Luke 13, 10 to 17. Jesus noticed a woman who was quite unable to stand up for 18 years. And now he knew the rules of conduct for what was allowed and what was not allowed on the Sabbath. But even while knowing that, Jesus healed the woman. And what he did really was against the detailed rule structure, the laws relating to the Sabbath. So it is true, Jesus broke the law. In many ways, you could say that should be the end of it. No more debate about anything else. Jesus broke the law, and that was wrong, right? Wrong. It's more complicated than that. I'm going to try to fill in a few blanks on that. First of all, first thing that's written in here, it says that Jesus noticed a woman. She did not seek him out. Didn't say that she came and touched his cloak. It didn't say that she came and did anything to get noticed. Jesus noticed her. She was just present. And Jesus had an eye for the people who were in need. And the fact that these people might be from a less respected class of people, like at the time of the New Testament, women were less respected. Either it didn't matter to Jesus that this was a woman, or it mattered to him so that he could show more of God's love for everyone. The fact that he called her a daughter of Abraham puts her status right up there with everyone else. Usually people would be called a son of Abraham. This son of Abraham, but he said daughter of Abraham. And people would get the connection, but boy, that really didn't make a whole lot of sense because this was a woman. Now, second, Jesus knew the rules of the Sabbath, and he had some fun with them when he talked about this. Let me tell you about this document called the Mishnah. Anyone know Mishnah? Got one of those at home? No? The Mishnah is, rabbis. They would discuss, still do actually, but they would discuss, debate, and argue, and try to understand the scriptures. They would have times where they, you know, people would be over on this side and this side, and they would argue. And part of the debates, which were, you know, still ongoing to a certain extent, resulted in the writing of this Mishnah, or a book of rules, trying to better understand scripture. One part is called Mishnah Shabbat. Everyone say that, it's really fun. Mishnah Shabbat. Shabbat is Sabbath. The Mishnah that has to do with Sabbath. It lists 40 minus one kinds of work that are not allowed on the Sabbath. It's easier to say 39, but it's written as 40 minus one. Let me list these really quickly. Listen, it's sowing seeds, plowing, reaping, binding sheaves, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing wool, washing wool, beating wool, dyeing wool, spinning, weaving, making two loops, weaving two threads, separating two threads, tying, untying, sewing stitches, tearing, trapping, slaughtering, flaying, tanning, scraping hide, marking hides, cutting hide to shape, writing two or more letters, erasing two or more letters, building, demolishing, extinguishing a fire, kindling a fire, putting the finishing touch on an object, or transporting an object between the private domain and the public domain, or for a distance of 4 cubits within the public domain. 39 things that you can't do on the Sabbath. But then there's another part of this code. It's called Mishnah Erovin. Everyone say Mishnah Erovin. Wasn't that fun too? Now you know all of these Hebrew words. That sort of mixes the Shabbat rules with the kinds of things that people are bound to do as followers of God. And the Erovin allows a, kind of like exceptions to the rules as they relate to things like cooking, carrying, or traveling. So Erovin translates into English as mixture, or in some ways sort of like Sabbath bound. For instance, in the Erovin, one of the sentences says, one may draw water from a well for one's cattle so long as one transforms the well from public domain to private domain by placing boards around it. So there are these exceptions and ways to get around the Shabbat laws. Well, Jesus talked about some of that stuff. And he amazed the synagogue leaders with his knowledge when he asked some questions, but he also continued with his wit. And as Jesus amazing them with his wit is just like these Sabbath debates or these rabbi debates. And Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. So what he said, when he said these things, it wasn't offensive to bring them up. But it was bothersome because people disagreed with him. He used the opportunity to make the synagogue leaders think. He caught their attention by playing on a word that we understand as untie. And in the scripture, it's listed two or three times. Words like unbind, set free, untie all have this similar meaning. And it's opposite from bind, enslave, or tie. And the Greek word that's written in here, you have deho, which means tie, and lupo, which means untie. And I won't make you say those because I just said them and now they're in your mind forever. Got them right there? And they also have that context of being bound or unbound, tied or untied, enslaved or set free. And Jesus said something like this. I'm paraphrasing and giving the spirit of what he said. Something like this. The law says that you can untie or tie on the Sabbath. It says that you can't untie or tie on the Sabbath. But doesn't the Erevin show that it's allowable to untie an animal on the Sabbath so it can get a drink? Surely it's allowable to unbind this woman who had been bound for 18 years too. In many ways, I think that Jesus was trying to teach that strict adherence to the law while ignoring those two most important rules, love God and love one another, makes the law into something that harms rather than helps. And I wonder, this gets controversial, controversial thoughts in my head. Is it possible that in today's world we have some issues that bring out similar responses? Like an issue like immigration. We have that statement, they broke the law, breaking the law, you can't break the law. But is an issue like immigration reform one that is parallel to one that Jesus was addressing? Would drawing a connection be taking the Bible out of context by using this story? Would it be taking the direction that the Bible intends when we read it? And those are wonderful, deep questions and ones that I will not answer today. I want to get to something else because this part, there's no controversy in it. This is just something that's hidden inside this scripture. I want to untie it. This woman whom Jesus healed wasn't looking for anything on that day. She didn't come to Jesus to be healed. Jesus just noticed her and Jesus set her free. And when he did, she stood up straight and she praised God. She didn't have a clue what was going to happen that day. The Bible gives no indication that there was any thought in her mind about what might happen. And she was healed completely. And I wonder what came next. I wonder, after she stood up and praised God, how was her life changed? She had been bent over for 18 years. What did she do for the rest of the days? Was she caught up in that conflict and the debate over healing on the Sabbath, or was she just celebrating? I think she was probably celebrating. I think she would have answered a question if someone came up to her and said, what happened here? She wouldn't have got with a debate about what happened on the Sabbath or healing on the Sabbath. But rather, it would be something like, I don't know about all these rules that you're talking about. But I do know that when I woke up today, I couldn't stand up straight. Same way I've been for 18 years. Then this man put his hands on me, and now I'm standing tall. That's her experience. And when I read that, and when I find that in there, and I'm moved by that, I wonder if anyone here today, anyone of our family, our friends, anyone who hears this at any time is bound by something. And maybe it is. It's something physical. And maybe it's something emotional. And maybe it's something mental. And maybe you came to church today not expecting anything to change. And I can't promise any kind of healing. I don't know how God decides when miracles are going to happen. I don't know how the miracles happen, but I do know that God can and God does heal. God can and God does set us free. Like this woman who wasn't expecting anything when Jesus set her free. You may have come here today not expecting anything, and Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set any one of us free. And I'm sure this all sounds a bit weird. You're starting to hear television preacher stuff coming out here, like, you know, if you just send $1,000 to our capital campaign, what will happen is we will be able to pray for your need, and your need will be met. I just went into a little bit of Jesse Jackson there, intending to be like Pat Robertson or something. So I don't know which voice I was using. Sometimes I forget which voices are coming out of my head, apparently. I know that God doesn't work that way, where you give enough money and you get what's coming to you. Or even that you pray hard enough and God says, yeah, fine. Or you support the right causes. But I do know that God can and does heal even when, and maybe especially when, you're not looking for it or expecting it at all. And that doesn't even really sound right, because all the time, you know, we've learned that we pray, and we do pray. I talked about prayer several weeks back. It doesn't sound right that God heals when someone wasn't looking for it. There's no evidence this woman was looking for it, but there we've seen it. In the Bible today, we've learned about God's healing when someone didn't expect it or didn't ask for it. I know this healing was on the Sabbath, and the scripture kind of takes that avenue there and it turns into a debate about rules and laws. But I think even more significant is this, what's hidden in there, that it's another kind of thing that seems to be outside of the rules for what are unwritten rules about how God works, how God heals. God can. And God does heal, even when, maybe, especially when, we're not looking for it or expecting it. And I wonder, if God does it, does that still make it breaking the rules? Let's pray. God, thank you for your miracles. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving to us when we don't deserve it, expect it, understand it, ask for it. Thank you. Amen.